when you're not ready for something or something comes and hits you out of the ordinary, we have a finger we like to point, right? Everybody agree? We like to point blame. We pass blame. We don't admit that we have a weakness. Obviously, Lance was clear enough, and my listening skills weren't good enough. So I'm going to point the blame and point the finger at me today. So my fault. Would you agree that we do point the finger? Okay. Scripture says it's that woman that you gave me. Moses blames it on his people. When they're, Moses said, your people. No, they're your people. So he starts pointing the blame. And then Moses had to hear complaining and complaining and complaining. And what did Moses do? He prayed. And then the Lord answered. And then they complained again. Moses prayed. God answered. Moses, the people complained. Moses prayed, and God answered. There has been, I've been here, we gone 4 years now? Some excellent sermons going on, been preached, especially here in the last few months. So I applaud those people whose hearts are searching after him, all right? You've done a fantastic job. He really does get where he, if you come to church and your heart's been penetrated and you want to change, you don't want to be a Sunday Christian anymore, you want to be a 7-day-a-week Christian, today's message is for you. So let me step out of the way, because it's not about me. And it's not about whoever's on the pulpit up here. It's always. Show me your fingers. It's all about him. Yeah. All right? So let's stop pointing fingers at, it's not your fault, but it's not about you. It's about him. And when I fail in other areas, it's me, but it should be all about him. And if I'm striving to go after everything he has for me, it should be all about him all the time. So just stretch your hands forward towards me, please. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just surrender my lips to you, Father, my mind and my heart, and I just get out of the way. This is yours. It's all about you, and it will always be about you. And I just thank you for the opportunity to be the mouthpiece that you use today. In Jesus' name. I have some questions written down, and I want to ask, who is king in your life? That's the good answer. That's the right answer. Let's go for a walk today and let's see what the Lord's going to do with this. The worship team, it's been like week after week after week after week. It goes along with the sermon. But Becky did ask me, did I have any preferences for one song? And I did. I had one. I didn't know the name of it. But the part where they said, the train of his robe fills the temple. All right? So we can open up Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. The train of his robe filled the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Little things like that want me to dive a little bit deeper. How many of you got married and had a long train on your wedding dress? All right, let me give you a history lesson. If his robe and the train of it filled the temple, when a king back in the day would go attack another kingdom and win, they would take his robe and sew it to the train of his robe, All right? So if that's the case, that train of the robe filled the temple. Think about that. Every king, okay? So it filled the temple. It would fill the whole earth because everything in the earth is his. You said Psalms 24 yesterday. That's a king I'd want to serve. So I ask you again, who is your king? Which king are you serving? A robe like that, it symbolizes majesty and power and strength and security. It filled the temple. So when they call him holy, holy, holy. He must have a lot of victories, right? He's still undefeated, and he will remain undefeated for eternity. That's the king I want to serve. Deuteronomy 7:24, and he will give their king into your hand, and you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. This is getting pretty exciting, right? That's only two scriptures. So now we know the King of Kings is undefeated. His robe fills the temple. And if we choose to go that route, that's a good route to go, right? Okay. So sounds like if we choose the right king, we get strength and we get security. Why are we chasing other things? Today is the day that the Lord has made. Finish it for me. Pointing the finger. Whose day is it? The Lord's day. It's not your day. Everyone in here saved, right? Anybody doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? If you don't, this sermon's going to be for you at the end. Can you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 2:4? But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted, underline that word, entrusted, with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Again, underline entrusted. So people, yes, I'm pointing fingers. Most people want signs and wonders, just like that. If you show me signs and wonders, I'll come to you, I'll serve you, but that's not what Scripture says, all right? Follow with me along and go to Mark 16, 15 through 20. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. So they spoke the word, and then signs and wonders followed. Sounds like a pattern. Okay. Signs and wonders didn't go in front of the word, it followed. So we must understand and obey this. We carry in our human bodies the treasures of glory of God that must be released and activated for signs and wonders. This is done by constantly hearing the word of God, praying, and fellowshipping. I love fellowshipping. My wife would tell you, it's been 10, 13 years, six nights a week, and then I had to slow down. Now it's three or four nights a week. But I love fellowshipping. He didn't make this a huge secret either. I mean, we just have to obey specific instructions from the king's robe who fills the temple. So the word needs spoken, the one you are entrusted with, and we're pointing fingers. It's not your word that you're entrusted with. It's whose word? It's his. It's his word. We can't twist it. We can't change it. We can't make it fit our situation. It has to be his word. And sometimes there's arguments about a lot of that, but it still has to be his word. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of the Lord is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hold that one up there. So the word you have been entrusted with is powerful, right? All right? Like nothing is more powerful. If his robe fills the temple, that's pretty powerful. So his word's pretty powerful. And you sent out your daily little thing the other day. This is a scripture I've been walking through for 3 years or more, Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to those eyes of him to who must give account. We have to give an account. Every idle word that comes out of our mouth, every action that we do, we have to give an account. Right? So if we're going to speak words, shouldn't we speak his word? Glad you agree. So let me put all this together. The word needs spoken. His word can and will defeat any king or kingdom with it. We are entrusted with the word. And we now know its power and should realize that victory is his because his train of the robe fills the temple. We should be walking and talking in what? Obedience, right? Okay. 1 Samuel 15:22, I didn't give it to you, tells us to obey is better than sacrifice. What sacrifices do you make instead of obedience? So you point the finger. How many of you blame God for something in your life? Okay, so we point the finger at him when it's not his fault, when it's the finger should be pointed back at you because we made dumb decisions, we spent money like we shouldn't, we drank too much alcohol, we did this, we did that, and we want to point the finger and blame him. Well, I thought you were my protector, all right? So you weren't living in obedience up to his word, you let things in, all right? And you just said a few things. We let things attach to that lady for 18 years. She was living an obedient life, probably. Most likely. Okay, so since stories in Scripture are shadows and types of our lives, let's look at one. Strict and steady to the word of the Lord, and it's about obedience. So today is all about who? Jesus. In Joshua 5, 6, it says, the land of milk and honey, right? The people that were walking and walking, he walked them into that promised land. Let's go read this. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Does anybody know what milk is? Pure spiritual milk. It's the word of God. Okay? Honey means what? Prosperity and abundance and its gifts and grace. Honey is said to be sweeter and better for you than anything else. How many people buy local honey? We buy local honey. It contains a mix of amino acids, vitamins, minerals, iron, zinc, antioxidants. It sounds pretty powerful to me. Okay? So I want to get into that land of milk and honey. So I have to, the word has to be entrusted in me. I have to know it, read it, understand it. It helps me get more intimate with him. We've been on the intimacy thing, and you can't know somebody if you don't sit down and talk to them, right? So you have to take the time out and do that, or you're just going to stay stagnant. So if you're staying stagnant, who's the finger get pointed at? It's you. Who's it all about? All right, so quit doing that. It says because did not obey the voice of the Lord. So not obeying has consequences. Okay. Can we get, can't get prosperity or abundance, so the finger points at you. So are we all still breathing? Okay, good. So let's go a little bit further. Remember, it's all about Jesus. The definition of obedience is defined as the act or practice of obeying dutiful submission or compliance. To obey means to give up one's own rights and to submit to another authority. Obedience shows love and respect to the recipient. So whether you are obeying authority, your parents, the Lord himself, you're displaying how deep your love and respect goes. I don't know how many years ago I gave Sonny spiritual authority over me because he's been mentoring me for 3 or 4 years or longer. Back in April or May, I gave and honored that to Lance as well. All right? He is the leader of our church. He has been entrusted with the word that goes forth here. So I gave him that authority too. All right? I can take criticism. It helps me grow. Okay? Okay, Nehemiah 9, 24 through 25. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued it before them and the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land that might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Sounds like when we're disobedient, people that wanted to go into that land had to wait 40 years. Caleb was 45. And he's the one that said, let's go, out of all the spies. He's one of the two that said, let's go. Let's go get what the Lord promised for us. And then everybody again complained, they're too tall. They got fortresses. They have this, they have this, they have this. But God said, it's yours. Go take it. So we spent 40 years in the wilderness, walking in circles. And then Caleb had to be one of the most excited people when it was time to go in. He already knew. People have shown pictures of the big grapes, the big stalks of stuff like that. And he had no fear. People needed deliverance last night from fear, right? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Point your finger at yourself. You are called for his purpose. Okay? For his purpose. You are called for his purpose in everything you do. I'm getting ready to head to D.C. tomorrow for 3 days for a work conference that I was chosen to be the spokesperson for the class that I teach through Ivy Tech. I do not want to go to D.C. It is an honor to go, and I will do my best. And I know I have to talk in front of supposedly thousands of people Tuesday. And when you get into the college world, how many people in college? Anybody in college right now? Been to college? They're more trying to wash your brain to more liberal-minded things. So I've been challenged to give a small talk, and I'm going to open up with scripture. Okay? It's my Colossians go-to scripture that anything that I do it for him. Amen. All right? I don't know how it's going to go. I could be jobless come Thursday. I don't know. It may offend somebody, but I don't care. His word's got to go forth. It's been entrusted in me. Yeah. Right? Amen. Yes, he will. So God, in your time of disobedience, made others do the labor. That's come from the Nehemiah scriptures. He made others grow the fields, tend the land, tend the vineyard. All you got to do is now walk into it in some obedience. So sometimes when you said no, the work still needs done, right? You still have to go, and somebody's doing the work. None of this gets cleaned by itself. The sound doesn't run by itself. Kids don't get taught the word by themselves. Things have been entrusted with people who've been stepping up to the plate for a very, very long time. I am a statistics kind of person, and I've looked at this for 13 or 14 years every time it comes out. The amount of people in church, 17%, now down to about 9% serve. All right? That's horrible. The work's still going to get done. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It really is. It's rewarding. So God will get others to do it before you step into his will and obedience. His promises, milk and honey, are still standing, waiting for you to catch up. So let me set the stage. We're going to talk about Jericho today. Jericho was what? A walled city. It's a fortress that Caleb said, God said we could have it, but the other people said, we're scared, they're tall, they're this, they're that, we can't do it. 9 acres, that's a lot of walking. 9 acres. It's the oldest city in the world in Joshua's day. It's surrounded by 2 massive stone walls. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, 20 feet high. The inner wall was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. And between the walls, a guard walkway 15 feet wide. Strong fortress. Okay. This is going to be a long read. So Joshua 6, 1 through 27. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This shall you do 6 days, specific instructions. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. What's the Ark of the Covenant? Presence. Okay, presence of the Lord. And let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say you shout. Then you shall shout. Sounds like specific instructions. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came back into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, so they did for 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and it and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live. And she and all who are in her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all the means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things that make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So he's telling you, don't take any of the splendor. If you flip to the next chapter, somebody took some splendor. What happened to them? Impaled them. Yeah. That would preach too. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron, they consecrated to the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So 40 years of disobedience, all the stuff that got stored up is now yours. Walking in obedience, he'll knock walls down for your life and make them flat. So the people who shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Is that what the Lord said? He honors his word, doesn't lie. Okay. And the people went into the city, every man straight before him. They took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. Kept his word. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy on Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the country. They worshipped, I think, a moon god in Jericho. I think it was a moon god that they, I've been researching it for months. People had different views, but they were not worshiping him, okay? And he laid it flat. Do you think that was a robe that got sewed? All right? Anything that comes up against him, he's going to have victory. So what did we learn from this, this story in history? It says being obedient works. We must do as ordered. The king's decree is entrusted to us. Sometimes it takes days to walk it out. Sometimes it takes years to walk it out. But we still have to walk it out. Obedience is the key to victory. Victory is when we are obedient and walk out his plan. Whose plan? His plan. I ask you again, who is king of your life? Let's understand and have ears to hear today. God never, ever, ever puts a Jericho in our lives to defeat us. Where do you have walls up? He's going to answer that if you ask. Walls represent growing opportunities for us in our relationship with him. Walls can be seen as a source of imprisonment and division, but Hebrews, his word, said it can pierce through division. I think we are getting somewhere right. I think we are, right? Okay. Walls are things we need to break down or overcome, and if you still have breath, you still have opportunity for obedience. Walls are structures that protect, provide security, and represent a place of shelter, forming a sense of belonging. If you get into this word that's all powerful, it tells us God protects us. Okay, that wall can come down. He provides security. That wall can come down. He provides shelter. That wall can come down. He provides belonging. He also provides identity, milk, and honey. Sonny a few weeks ago said, obedience leads to intimacy. Did you say that? Okay. Lance said, what are you holding back or hiding from God? That comes from Hebrews 4:13 as well. You've all had a week to sit on that and maybe stew on it. A few years back, Jimmy, you here? A few years back, in the height of COVID, Jimmy sent out a request to some of the men in church. I asked him last week if he mind to get, I don't know the results of it, but you can tell them what we did, and I'm going to have you give a testimony.
Thanks, Sean.
It's on.
It's on. I kind of forgot that I was going to do this, but no, I appreciate
it. Unprepared like me.
No, Sean told me about it. Interesting enough, Brian just asked how long I've worked at Union Hospital. I've worked there 23 years, started when I was 19 years old. And I'll be real open about this. I feel like the enemy was trying to take over my mountain that God has called me to in taking care of people. And I felt like that kind of happened in 2020. I think the enemy was trying to take charge of it, take control of it, and he continues to try to. And I felt during that time that I was losing a little bit of a grip of it, and I felt like the enemy was taking charge. After the first wave of COVID, we didn't really know what was going on. We didn't know how to treat it and all this stuff, and all you were through this. I was on the inside, trying to lead a team every day through it. But I had some faithful people here, and I had learned a principle. It's a biblical principle, but through Fight Club, actually, many years ago, to do a Jericho march to knock down walls. And I felt like there were many, many walls at the hospital over people's minds, over their thought processes during that time. And so this was what we would have called before. You remember the hospital put up a tent outside the ER, and I was greatly troubled by it because I kind of personally felt like it was us giving up and giving in, and I was troubled by it. And it came down, and I heard talks about it coming up again, and during the second wave, and I just felt it upon my heart that there is a power inside the people of Christ that we need to be able to walk in. And there's no longer time to sit on our hands and just let the world kind of go around us and be in our happy Christian way. We need to take charge of it. And so I actually reached out to a few people here and said, I want to do a Jericho walk around the hospital. I actually reached out to our CEO, who is a Christian, and told him what I was doing. Obviously, he said, good job, great. He gave me some things to pray about, actually, that need to be broken down that he saw from the hospital side. Jericho walks in the past I'd just done seven times around, but after reading that the mandate was to do it every day, and then on the seventh day do it seven times. And Sean was one that joined us on that. We woke up early in the morning and walked the sidewalks of the hospital around the entire East Building and West Building. And on the seventh day, we walked seven times, and that took a while. My feet actually hurt pretty well.
It's like 5 miles.
It was a long way that last day. But there were people every morning for 7 days walking around that hospital to break off what the enemy was trying to do. And I don't know if you guys, you may not have seen this, but the enemy's tried to rear his head multiple times again, and there is a change inside of healthcare that is different than before, and it's not standing for it anymore. And I do believe that it is specifically in the realm of where that walk was done to break down that wall. Now, we didn't see it immediately, and it frustrated me. I wanted to see the tent come down. I wanted to see everything fall immediately. What the Lord's been teaching me, and I'll give encouragement to you, is that there are battles that are fought right now that affect generations.
Yes.
And I think a lot of our battles, we may not see the results in the way we think, but our children and our children's children and our children's children will see that. And I just encourage you that there has been walls broken down, and it's slow. It's a process sometimes, but it was an amazing thing to be a part of. If we do it again, I wish I had a ram's horn to blow at the very end. That would have been really cool.
We used our phone.
But we did. We used our phone, right? We didn't have a ram's horn. We used a ram's horn on our phone and blasted it as loud as we could. So we did with what we could at that point. I have a ram's horn now, so I could do that now. But I'd encourage you that if the Lord calls you to break down walls, this is a powerful way, because he says that everywhere the soles of our foot shall tread will be given to us. Take that promise.
Amen.
Take that promise when you break down that wall.
Thank you, Jamie. I have not talked to him about that since then, and it's good to hear the Lord's working. Things are getting in line in healthcare. We'd like to shut them all down and bring them to church. So what we covered, us are entrusted with the word, and signs and wonders will follow. We were obedient, and now signs and wonders will follow. Sometimes they're happening slowly because you've got a strong force in pharmakia. It's a, they control, I wouldn't say the world, but they control a lot. But if Jesus is King of Kings, if you're King of Kings, what's that mean? There's no other kings above that king. If he's Lord of Lords, it's still on our wall, is there's no more lords above him, okay? If the Holy of Holies, there's nothing holier than him, and victory is his that he promised, means he can't be defeated. His rope fills the temple, but his word needs spoken. Okay, so to walk out obedience, we need to have eyes to see. We need to trust that he says he is a lamp unto our feet, and he's not going to light up 5 years from now, 2 weeks from now. He's a lamp unto our feet, to trust him step by step. Something I've been, Jim Pond threw that out on a Tuesday and been walking in it ever since. Ears to hear. You have to have ears to hear. And then you operate in his strength, not ours. So now we have a promise. Know we have a partner. And know we have prevailed because of him and only him. Me and my youth are here. How do we hear from God? Anybody brave enough to speak up? The word? He knows. He says it every time. He ain't going to. All right, I won't put you on the spot. The word, prayer, worship, audible voice sometimes. Sometimes it's other people. And what we just did downstairs for like 3 weeks was dreams and visions. Did you know in Scripture that God spoke to more people through dreams and visions than any other way? Solomon got his wisdom that he asked for in a dream. Who saw the ladder up and down? Jacob. Then he awoke. Dream, right? And it said in the last days we will have dreams and visions. So he's, if you're having dreams and visions, I encourage them to start writing them down. He really is speaking to us in that. God has promised to hear our prayers. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Isaiah 65:24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. That tells me he knows all our thoughts. He knows all our words before we even speak them. Does the devil do that? Doesn't have that power. Okay. God has promised to answer our prayers. In John 14:13-14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Also in 1 John 5:14-15. Now this, and the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So he answers prayers. God has promised to help us pray. Romans 8:26-27. Sometimes we don't have the words, so we should surrender our strength into his strength. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for us as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know the whole story. I've heard bits and pieces. Your prayer life got better when you started praying in tongues. We should be praying in tongues. I don't know what to say all the time. And when I do that in my 45-minute drive to work. Whatever is on my heart, I let it out. And it's powerful. He's powerful. So if we are obedient, talking with him brings intimacy. Okay. All the true prayer begins with God. So he speaks to our hearts, and we offer the prayer. He leads us to pray back up unto him. This is the way to pray the will of the Father. That's what the word says. Anybody taking notes, they can write this down. I'm not going to read through it. But in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, it tells us the blessings for obedience. Deuteronomy 28, 16 through 68 tells you about the curses of disobedience, and there's 52 verses. Probably one for every week of the year, okay? All right. I'm going to give a little bit of a kind of a work testimony. I teach the same class. It's 8 weeks. It's over and over and over and over and over again. I knew way back when I started that's what I was going to do. It's getting to a point where it's now boring. It's not challenging. And I'm thinking, Lord, why am I here? Okay, so discouragement. He will come if you open the door. We had a graduation September 11th. Families got to come in. There was 120 graduates. Some got their GED, some got certificates, some got their degrees in certain things, and I had 21 students who graduated in that time period that could attend the graduation. I got to talk to two sets of parents, and one of them walked up to them after they introduced me and said, ever since he took your class, all he talks about is how he's never coming back here and that he's got plans for his life now. All right, I'm like, all right, that was some encouragement that I needed to hear. Now I know I'm in the right place. And then the second parent, grandparents, said the same exact thing. And I'm like, see, you are making an impact. That made me cry because it's the same thing. It's boring. I'm trying to make it fun. I try to make each class different. But it's the same thing over and over and over and over, and it's a routine. But he is obedient. When we are obedient, it blessed me. So the Bible isn't just a book. It has divine power to open our hearts to truth. It will teach us to identify sins, immaturity, correct us, and change us from the inside out. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know what I'm saying when I'm teaching. I know the subject, but I don't know what conversations actually is they're hearing. But obviously something's happening because I'm honoring him. What I do at work is unto him. And I get a paycheck and great benefits and get to go to D.C., which I don't want to do. So the word is who? Jesus. As we draw closer, more intimate, and as we read, he doesn't punish us, but he exposes our deepest secrets and gives us an opportunity to repent. So when God uncovers the hidden motives and desires of our hearts, he is inviting us to experience even more of his grace and power and to have some milk and honey. If you mean it, I know I've heard people say, God, I want more. I want more. And I got to remind you that he's patient. He's compassionate. He's forgiving. He's loving. He's slow to anger. And I go back and I just start searching my own life, because that's the only life I got to give an account for. I learned a really good lesson 10 years ago in humility. My mom was having a event at her ranch, and well-renowned horse trainer was coming. He's like one of the top three in the world. Very rich. Rich people were coming in here. The whole back was full of people with campers and having fun. And then she asked me to give the word at like 7 o'clock in the morning for a cowboy church. So I'm prepping. This is my first time on a Sunday, but it's not in a pulpit. So I'm like, it doesn't matter where you're at, all right? So I had to throw that out, okay? And then somebody happened to say, this is your day of advancement. What do you think that hit? Pride. Like, I rose up like, yeah, it's my day of advancement. I'm going to go somewhere. And then Holy Spirit, because my ears were cleaned enough to hear, said, you're nothing but dirt. Like, said, what? You're nothing but dirt. That was humbling. Pride did swoop in, and mindful of my thoughts, I pointed the finger at me for a second, but I had to point them at him. And Holy Spirit said, you are nothing but dirt, but you're just glorified dirt. It's not about me, it's all about you. It can never, ever, ever be about me. This is what I learned that day. It has to be all about him. I have to elevate him, and then he will elevate me. Okay? I have to be obedient to him and then watch him bless me, because that's the steps of obedience. And sometimes I get ahead and then I point the finger. I'm like, God, catch up. No, you go back and do what I asked you the first time. So serving God is a gift. It's a privilege that should never, ever, ever be taken for granted. And like Job, I'm nothing but dust and ashes. You're just dirt that I choose to use for my glory. So don't ever, 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 ever forget that. And like Jericho, God often uses difficulties to get our attention. I spoke on storms every time I've been up here besides today, but I've already mentioned it, so here it is again. God often uses difficulties to get our attention. He throws storms or allows storms in your life, sometimes as fertilizer for our growth. So by a show of hands, are you hearing from God? We hearing from God? If not, he won't give you the next word until you obey the last word he gave you. Okay? Disobedience and distractions and self-doubt, these are things that are plugging our ears and our hearts. So again today, I said, those who have ears, hear. Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts. And no, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That's powerful. So what we learn from Joshua and Jericho is, I got seven. One, obey with exactness, even when it makes zero sense. Learn your war cry. You're going to need it. Take possession of what God calls yours. Keep covenant with the word. Travis, be still. Exodus 14, 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Sometimes he gave us 6 days of not talking. Don't talk. Just go be obedient. That's fine. My life verse, Psalms 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. We have to be still. Even when we want to talk. Whose word is it? It's his word, not our word. So we should be speaking his word, not our word. So Joshua, it said at the end of the chapter 6, was successful because he knew God's word and kept it. Luke 11:28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jericho was the tithe to the Lord. It was the first city they went after they crossed over into the promised land. So God did fulfill his promise. Detachment from obedience means sink or swim, here I am. How many of you have been scared to take the next step? We've all been there. So sometimes we got to get out there on an island with God and just trust him. We say, you're my future, you're my security, you're my life, and without you, I am nothing. Obedience left the new Israel the promise. 40 years of disobedience was the old Israel walking where they couldn't go into the promised land. Another shadow and type in Scripture. Jesus says, follow me. Obedience is necessary for advancement. Reproduce his life. Goes back to what you're teaching in Genesis, replenish the earth. Reproduce his life. If we reproduced his life and everybody acted like Jesus, would heaven be on earth? Would be. For those here last week, there was something you were holding on to or hiding that Lance talked about. Some of you have thought about it all week, and sometimes when things progress, people do fall off. Don't do that. It's disobedience. Was it or is it comforts of life? Money. An attachment is something that you have hindered you from getting to 100%. God wants a unified church. That's what he wants. Here is the guarantee. It's his fullness and his promises. Obedience is good because God is good. We get there until it becomes uncomfortable. I may have been uncomfortable, but stayed the course. It's not about you. We all have, or still do have, fingers to point it up. Situations come in life, and we try to post blame. The finger goes up. It's not about you. It's about him. 2 Kings, about done. Can I get our leadership to come up? I'm going to do something a little bit prophetic here. This is me stepping up, trying to step out. In 2 Kings 13:15, Elijah was on his deathbed, and kings were coming to attack them, and they were down to what they were down to, and they wanted one more miracle from Elijah. He said, pick up your bow. There's no bow, but in the Lance. He says, pick up your bow, draw the arrow, and shoot it. The victory is yours. So I want you guys to pick up your bow. I want you to draw the arrow. He says it opened the door, and we shot it towards the east. Wherever your family lives, wherever they are, let it fly. Whoever you're praying for. What we do in the natural that we just did is now happening in the supernatural. Okay? Because it has to happen in the supernatural for it to be done. Okay? We need to know that. I want to do that. I didn't do it with you. So I'm picking up my bow. My daughter lives that way. My son lives that way. South is that way, way in Florida. And I'm asking for supernatural things. Illinois is that way. Kinsey and Kelsey are that way. And Lord knows where that one goes, because I don't know where Noah lives. I'm trusting him in that. He said in Isaiah 56 that he will bring back those if you raise them upright. That's a promise, and he is a God that doesn't lie. That train fills the temple, okay? The last 13 years, as I examined my heart, I found security was in my bank account. It doesn't need to be there. In this past year, he's answered my prayer on trusting him more. And that's what I was calling mine, but it's really all his. Okay? So I needed to examine my heart. I was been questioning myself for the last 12 months, do you love money? I like having it, but it's not my God. All right? So I've worked that with him. That's been 12 months of a battle back and forth. So if you examine your heart, he will work on you. He's worked on me. The last 13 years, God has pulled out by the root pride, unforgiveness, fear, along with a lot of other things. He replaced it with humility, forgiveness, and finally some courage. That's a good one. The prodigal son. I've done some bad things, and I'm rehearsing my speech before I go to the throne. I'm rehearsing it. And he opens his arms wide. Before I can give it out, he's already hugging me and saying, let's have a feast. Let's not forget that. He's that quick to forgive. So I'm asking you guys, stop drafting your speech and just come home. Have ears to hear, courage to conquer, security to trust, an attitude of gratitude. Quit playing the blame game. Humility to admit you can't and haven't done anything without him. Have eyes to see. Obedience isn't earning God's love. It's the way we express our love for God. So follow him without reservation. Let's shatter the mold of the world. The world wants you to conform to it. We need to conform to him. All right? Sink or swim, here I am. That nudge you felt, I don't know how many times you have felt it before, but out of fear, embarrassment, or what other people might think, you didn't step up or step out. Today's your day. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper, not for evil, and to give you a future and hope. God today is saying, trust me, I will flatten those walls you hold up right now when you are obedient. My word has went out. My train fills the temple, and I excel in doing the undoable. My victory is yours. Come and get it. He is still a miracle-working God, and it's all about him, not you. So as we close, if you feel like you need walls that need flattened, here we are. He's saying, come and get it. Come and get it. You've been scared before, not today, right? Come and get it. He's called you to do certain things. Out of fear, you didn't. Today's your day. Come get it. Milk and honey. Milk and honey. Milk and honey. He's ready to flatten walls. If you have any need whatsoever, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He will meet them. You just got to step out. We all have needs. Let's be honest. We all have needs. But the need for him is greater than anything.